Open the scriptures to Revelation chapter 1. The book of the Revelation chapter 1. I'd like to speak to you on this subject, words to the churches. These are words that God gives to His people. I'll tell you, we need to hear words from God, don't we? I know that if the only words that we listen to today are just my words, then nothing of any everlasting value will ever come of this service. We need to hear words from the Lord. We need the Lord to speak to our hearts. I'm thankful God is not silent. God has not restrained Himself, withheld His words from us. He didn't have to speak to you. He didn't have to speak to me. But He has spoken. We read in Hebrews, the first chapter, God has in these last days spoken to us through His Son. He speaks in His Son. He speaks by His Son. He speaks through His Son. This is what I ask of God every time we meet together, every opportunity I have to speak to you. I always ask the Lord this, O God, let us hear from you. His is the voice that wakes the dead. His is the voice that makes the blind to see. His is the voice that makes the deaf to hear. His is the voice that makes the lame to walk. His is the voice that we've got to hear. Oh God of grace. Oh God of peace. Oh God of mercy. Speak to us. You remember the story in the Old Testament. We frequently refer to this when Samuel, having been brought up in the temple, one night he heard a voice. The voice said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel's mentor, his master, was the high priest of Israel, Eli. And he was an elderly gentleman. Young Samuel was very concerned about Eli, and when he heard his name called, he immediately thought that's who was calling him. It was Eli. So he goes in to see him, and Eli said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Go back to bed. You've had a dream. And so young Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears his name called again. Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to the bedside of Eli, and he says, what do you need? What do you need? And Eli said it wasn't him. Well, Eli perceived it was the voice of God after the third time. He told Samuel, he said, now, when God speaks to you again, you just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Would to God that would be our attitude today. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. O God, open my ears to receive your word. Remember that the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, when he began those parables in that great chapter, the kingdom parables, he said after each one, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He says here in Revelation, the second chapter and the third chapter, when he gives these letters to the seven different churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." O Lord, open my ears that I could hear your word today. Because I know this, and most of you know this, if he doesn't open up our ears, if he doesn't open up our hearts, we won't hear anything that God has to say. We're so deaf. Our Savior said, "If I speak, you won't hear me. But another voice speaks," he says, "you'll listen to that voice every time. Every time." Oh, this is an evidence of the fall. We will listen to the false word. We will listen to that message of works and man's will. We will listen to that message, salvation by your efforts. But we won't listen to that message of free grace. We won't listen to that message that says Jesus Christ is all. We won't listen to that message that says salvation is of the Lord. We'll never listen to God's message unless he enables us to hear. Words to the churches. Here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, the Apostle John tells us the ones to whom this book is written. He says in verse 4, after the first three introductory verses, he says, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia." Now the word seven is one of those symbolic words in the book of the Revelation. I've mentioned to you before, in the very first verse, you see the word signified. That means sign language. The Lord is going to speak in sign language. And throughout the book of the Revelation, he refers to seven. That is a very symbolic number. In fact, it's used 54 times, more than in any book of the Bible, the number seven. What does it mean? Completion. That which is full. That which presents the totality of something. When he says to the seven churches, he's using these seven churches in a symbolic way. Now, first of all, these were seven literal churches. But there were other churches in Asia Minor as well. There were other congregations. He speaks to the seven churches which are representative of all the church of God, of all the people of God, of all the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. These seven local assemblies were real congregations. And you know what? None of them exist today. They're all Muslim congregations. Many hundreds of years ago, they left the gospel. God calls them seven lampstands. Notice how he says that, or candlesticks. Notice in verse number 12. After John hears this voice, he says, I turn to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. And you know what God did? He removed the light. He just took the light away. There's never been a local church that lasts through the centuries. God gives His light. God removes His light according to His sovereign will. Oh, listen, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Don't take the gospel for granted. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the local church, the local assembly is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Let's hold it up. Let's set forth the truth. This truth of salvation by sovereign grace. God's election of some people unto salvation. The effectual redemption of the Lord Jesus of these chosen people. Don't ever be ashamed of particular redemption. We don't speak in vague language. We don't just say Jesus Christ died for sinners, though that is a true statement. But everybody practically in the so-called evangelical world will accept that language. Our Lord Jesus died for the sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Listen to the words of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God says salvation is of the Lord. Oh God, help us never to forsake that message. This is the message that exalts our God. That's our first reason for existing, is to give God the glory. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all things for His glory. We exist as a congregation, as a local assembly of believers. We've been brought together. The Lord has adhered us together. He's glued us together according to His will to set forth the truth, to announce to this community salvation is of our God. We're the pillar and the ground of the truth. And we're a candlestick. We're a city set on a hill. That's what the Savior said in the Sermon on the Mount. A light that cannot be hid. All around us is darkness. I know there are people in churches this morning, and I use that term very liberally there. There are people in religious establishments all over this fair city who are just as sincere as we are. But there's no light there. Listen, where there's no gospel, there's no light. Where there's no Holy Spirit, there's no light. There's no light there. There's only darkness. And in the midst of this religious darkness all around us, this darkness where man's free will is being exalted, where preachers are saying you need to make your decision for Jesus, where preachers are saying God has done everything He could do for you, now won't you let Him save you? We're living in the midst of darkness. And when I say these things, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest with people. We've got to tell people the truth. We've got to tell them who God is. God in His holiness. God in His sovereignty. God in His justice. God in His faithfulness. God in His truthfulness. We've got to tell them salvation is of the Lord. We've got to tell them about this gospel. It's good news. It's not the good news of sinner. This is what you got to do. It's the good news, sinner. It's done. The work of redemption is done. The work of reconciliation is done. The work of the removal of sins is done. The work of bringing in righteousness is done. The Savior said on the cross, it is finished. If He said it, it must be finished. It's finished as God would have it to be finished. And that's our message. In the midst of this darkness all around us, religious darkness, set on top of this hill, is a candlestick. We exist to send forth the light. That's why we're here, to send forth the light. You see, the gospel of redemption, the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel of God's free grace, the gospel that says salvation is due to the work of God alone. His choosing work, His redeeming work, and that redeeming work results in the regenerating work of the Spirit of God. That's our message. We just keep on preaching the same message. We don't veer away from it. We keep on holding forth the light. Because it's the only message that will glorify God. I said we exist to glorify God. And I'll tell you this. If nobody else ever believed this gospel, and I know some will, and some do, but if nobody else believed this gospel, you know what? We'd keep on preaching it. For this reason, it glorifies God. It exalts God. And that which exalts God is the right thing to do. You may never receive from God the hearing ear, but we're going to keep preaching to you. It may further harden your heart, but though it hardens your heart, it pleases God. Words to the churches. God has things to say to His people. And as we set forth that which He has said, as we set forth the grace of God and the peace of God, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it glorifies God. I'll tell you something else to do. It'll work to the salvation of God's elect. There's only one message that God uses for the salvation of His people. It's not error. God does not use the devil's lies to save His people. He uses the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If a man's preaching error, it's not going to be used of God to save His people. You read in our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, He said, a corrupt tree, that's a false prophet. He says, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Only a good tree can do that. Why do we preach the gospel? Maybe some of you, I hope none of you, but it may be some of you, or maybe somebody watching on the internet, or somebody who listens to this later. Maybe every once in a while you think, why does that man always preach the gospel? First of all, it's the only message that glorifies God. You interested in glorifying God? I sure am. So I set forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. That one whom God has ordained to have all the preeminence in creation, providence, and salvation. And we preach this gospel because God's got an elect people in this world. It's a bunch of them. Back later on in the book of the Revelation, John says, I saw them all together. He said, I couldn't even count them all. He said, it goes further than any of my math classes ever went. He said, it's a multitude can't be numbered. Why do we preach the gospel? For the conversion of God's elect. You got to hear who God is. Not about this mamby-pamby weak God out here that's being touted in the religious edifices of our day, but the God who reigns in glory. The God before whom the angels bow in reverence and in worship and in awe. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. This religious day doesn't know anything about a God such as that. They're so familiar with God. You find out who God is, you'll fall before Him and you'll understand what Solomon meant when he said, God's in heaven, you're on the earth. Let your words be few. Just shut your mouth in the presence of God and ask God to open your ears so you can hear what He has to say. We're so busy babbling and running our mouths about religious things. Oh God, shut us up and open our ears to what You've got to say. Got to know who God is. Got to know who Jesus Christ is. God and man. No denial of His deity. No denial of His humanity. Do either one, you're an unbeliever. You deny He's the Christ, you don't know Him, you're an antichrist. Deny God was joined with man, you're still antichrist. We got to find out who Christ is. We got to find out why He had to come to this world. Because we're sinners, we've offended God's justice. Listen to the words of God to His churches. He tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I know I've done a few bad things. You are a bad thing. You are a bad thing. You are a filthy thing. You are a sinner. Like I said in the funeral message yesterday, you're all sinners and I'm a sinner. We've got to find out what we are. And the only way we're going to find out what we are is in the brilliant light of who God is. When you see who God is, then you'll begin to see what you are. You'll understand why Job said we're worms. We're wiggling maggots. I don't care how black you paint the picture. The half has not ever been told about our depravity. We got to tell the truth. The Lord's word to His churches. He says the wages of sin is death. Well, then what hope do we have? If we're all sinners, if we are filthy, if we are sin, and we're estranged from God, we're cut off from God, what hope do we have? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, enter Christ Jesus, the substitute and the Savior of His people. Listen to the words of God to His churches. I give my Son for you. I give Him for you. You want to talk about the love of God? You're in His love. Not that we love God, but He loved us. Gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's justice demanded satisfaction. Oh, Lord, drill that into our hearts. Justice demands satisfaction. The soul that sinned must die. I must die. Or a suitable substitute must die in my place and satisfy God. He's the propitiation for our sins. God found the only way whereby He remained just and holy can save sinners like you and me. He sent His Son. Let's be a lighthouse. Tell people who God is. Tell people what we are. And tell people the only hope sinners have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we tell them this. You must be born again. But that's not something you can do. That's not your work. The Savior said, He that liveth and believeth. We're made to live first. Whose work is that? Well, it's sure not your work. And it's not my work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He makes us alive. Alive. We died in Adam. But as our brother read in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead in sins. He quickened us. There wasn't the least spark of life in us. That's the reason you read to us, having no hope in this world. That is no hope in us. Our hope is in the Lord doing something for us. Words to the churches. Why do we preach the gospel? Glorifies God, saves His elect. There may be one of the Lord's lost sheep in here this morning. I don't know whether you're a sheep or not. But I'll tell you this. If you're one of His lost sheep, He's sure going to find you. And you know what? He might find you. He might be pleased to find you and lay hold of you and pick you up out of the miry clay and wash you in His blood and robe you in His righteousness, lift you up and put you on His shoulders. He might be pleased to do that even now. Wouldn't that be something? That's a work of grace. That's why we keep on preaching the Lord's Word. He's got lost sheep. I remember Brother Mahan years ago. He brought a message on the trail of the Lord's sheep. We're on the trail of the sheep. I don't know who they are, but they're out there. Might be one of you. And I say, come to the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if He lays hold of you, that's exactly what will happen. As old Brother Scott Richardson used to say, you'll stack your shotguns in the corner. You'll say, I surrender. I have no other hope but Jesus Christ alone. I flee to Him. Oh God, show me mercy for Christ's sake. You'll be a mercy beggar. A mercy beggar. That's what you'll be. You'll be like that leper who met the Savior when the Savior was on the mountain and He came down from teaching the sermon on the mount and the leper just fell down before Him. He just melted before Him. He said, Lord, if You will. If You will. It's up to Your will. You can make me whole. I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean. Oh, sovereign God, exercise Your will in salvation this very moment. And you know what? He does that when He's pleased to do it. Words to the churches. Words to the Lord's people. We just keep preaching the gospel. This gospel exalts the Lord, tracks down the lost sheep. I'll tell you something else He does. Feeds the sheep too. The gospel feeds the sheep. The last few days have been very draining, haven't they? I told Nancy, I said, after yesterday, I said, I'm physically spent and I'm emotionally spent. I need strength. I need encouragement. The Lord has removed from our congregation a dear brother who just last Sunday night sat on this platform and then read the Scriptures and led us to the throne of grace. His passing has left a void in our group. We need encouragement. We need to be built up. And there's only one message that'll do that. It's the gospel of God's free grace. You know how John introduces this book? Notice his salutation to the seven churches. Grace be unto you and peace. Well, I tell you, for a people who are tried and troubled and afflicted in this world, we need to hear the Lord's words to His churches. Grace be to you and peace. Grace. Unmerited favor. Grace be to you and peace. And this must be very needy for the children of God. Because as you read through the epistles, you'll find that Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, 1 Peter, and 2 John all begin by saying, as does the book of Revelation, grace be to you and peace. And these are not merely my words. These are not the words of a preacher, not merely the words of the Apostle Paul, or the words of the Apostle Peter, or the words of the Apostle John. These are the words of God to His churches. Listen to what He says to you who are His people. Grace be to you and peace. And you say, I'm sure you say, as I say, Lord, I'm always in need of hearing those words from you. Grace, unmerited favor to you. Free grace. Sovereign grace. Saving grace. Preserving grace. Grace that always abides. Justifying grace. Glorifying grace. When in the depths of despondency, amongst the gloominess of this world, hear the words of God to His churches, my grace is sufficient for you. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My heart is broken. The days are gloomy. The world is against us. Oh, but Lord, You're full of grace. And You speak grace to Your people. And You say to us, I saved you by my grace. Unmerited favor. It wasn't for anything in you. His grace is in the heart of God. He's always had it in His heart for His people. Grace. And peace. Peace. Somebody says you need to make your peace with God. Can't do that. Tell you what, in Ephesians chapter 2, that passage you read, four words there. He is our peace. I have one who is my peace. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only my peace. He's the peacemaker. He made my peace by the blood of His cross. Listen, everything's all right, people of God. Hear the words of the Lord to His churches. Everything's all right between us and our holy God because Christ is our peace. And He made our peace by the blood of His cross. And you know who these words come to us from? Grace and peace. These are not merely from John. Look who it's from. Grace be unto you and peace. First of all, from the Father. You see, here's the Trinity. Hear words of grace and peace from the Trinity. From Him which is, which was, and which is to come. God the Father says to you, grace and peace. Grace and peace. We have peace with God, and He gives us peace within our consciences that all is well with Him. Secondly, this comes from the seven spirits which are before His throne. Remember, the number seven is significant. It's figurative. From the complete Spirit, the Spirit who is perfect. The seven spirits, that's the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. And He says, grace and peace to you. And you know it's the Spirit of God who whispers this to our hearts even now. But not only do these words come from the Father and from the Spirit, but verse 5, and from Jesus Christ. Jesus, He's the Savior. He's the man Christ Jesus. He is Christ. He's the anointed one. And you know what Jesus Christ has to say to His people? Grace be unto you and peace. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the faithful witness. He's the prophet. He's the first begotten from the dead. He died and He rose again. He's the priest. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the King. And then special preeminence is given to the Son. For then John says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has loved us and washed us. Let me give you this and I'll quit. It doesn't say He washed us and loved us. It isn't because we're washed that He loves us. We are washed because He's always loved us. This is an everlasting love. He loved us, having loved His own which were in the world. He loved them to the end. How long will the Lord love you, child of God? It's a love that will never end. Oh, that ought to give you strong consolation. And because He loved us, He washed us. You know who needs washing? People who are dirty. It used to be every Saturday night, it was bath night when I was a little boy. Actually, I don't know how people stood us during the rest of the week. But every Saturday night, Mom would say, it's bath night. And we didn't have showers. And my brother took a bath and left the water in there, and then I took a bath. Then my sister, she got fresh water. But I needed a bath because I was dirty. And we needed to be bathed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, because we're filthy in our sins. But because He loved us, He came and He washed us from our sins in His own blood. Oh, what sweet words of the Lord to His churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Lord says. I'll give you one other thing. No charge. One extra thing. Another reason we preach the gospel, it leaves all men without excuse. You may remain an unbeliever the rest of your life. I don't know. It's not my business. But I know this. You've heard the gospel of God's grace. We had a large congregation yesterday. God had His word go forth. It will accomplish His purpose to soften some. Others will be hardened. God's word is always successful. God's preacher is always triumphant when he preaches the gospel. The Lord's will shall be done. God, give us grace to look to Jesus Christ and fill our hearts with grace and peace. Let's sing Redeemed 475, number 475.